Scripture lesson from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a stairway set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and I shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first.
Thank you so much, Minister TJ. I appreciate your words. I should just have you preach the sermon for today. Pray with me, friends. Dear God, in this moment, may I decrease that you may increase. I pray that as the words leave from my lips, that you would bless them, that this time may be an edification for our spirits together. May we feel your presence in this place. May we leave transformed by your love. Lord, I'm going to sit back and let you do what you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved, we do pray. All of us said, amen, amen, and amen. Now, it may seem a little bit elementary today, but I kind of want to start our reflection with a question. Here's my question for you all. Have you ever wanted more out of God? I mean, yes, we come into this place, and on Sundays, we sing our songs together. One of the ministers gets up here, and they preach a word to us of hope, and then we go rub on Minister Doogie, and we go on our way, and that's our Sunday. But at a certain point, we have to ask, is that it, God? Isn't there more to this? I mean, what happened, John, to the God of five loaves and two fish? Caleb, what happened to the God who parted the waters at Exodus? I mean, God, at least turn this cup of water into wine. I mean, coffee, Bill. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, An Altar in the World, helps to remove the scales from our eyes to the greater dimensions of God's presence in the world and around us. She points out that all of us, in a sense, have a longing for an experience with the one that we call God, Maddie. A priest once asked Barbara to come preach at his church. And she asked him, what do you want me to come preach about? Jessica, he said, come and tell us what's saving your life right now. What is saving your life right now, Anne? Bill, I don't think we could have had a better title for this series. So for the next several weeks, we as a church are going to explore what is that that is saving us. Or put more theological, because you know I'm in seminary and everything has to be theological for me. What is connecting us to that source of life, love, and liberation? Today we're going to start with a practice that seems so simple, First Lady, but it takes a lot of practice, and that's waking up. Now, I don't know about you all, but I love a good nap. Especially in these more modern days for me, in the last couple of months, my days have been spent either in some classroom somewhere studying about the historicity and the literary criticisms of the Hebrew scriptures, or my time is spent running around this building with our plentiful youth playing catacombs, preparing lessons, and getting ready for our trip to Costa Rica. So let me tell you, nothing is more lovely to me than a wonderful nap. But when I was younger, I didn't like naps. I had what the youth call FOMO, the fear of missing out. I had this idea, Emma, in my head that when I was sleeping, the adults were having the party of a lifetime. They were living it up. Now that I'm older, I realized that they were napping as well. But I resisted the naps when I was younger. I didn't want to miss out on the fun. Our friend Jacob here, he's leaving on a journey. Family problems have become deadly, and now Jacob is fleeing to go stay with his uncle and marry one of his cousins. The Bible is a weird place. As he's on this journey, it gets late. He decides to camp out in the night sky. And as he's sleeping, he has this vision, he has this dream in which this divine escalator touches the ground on which he's sleeping on it and extends all the way to heaven. And as he looks at it, angels are ascending and descending, doing the work of God, carrying messages of hope to the people. And then God shows up and God promises, hey, I'm going to give you provision, protection, and presence. Have you all ever heard of the movie, the Pixar movie, The Incredibles? It's one of my favorite movies. It's this movie about the superhero family that has to blend into normal society because culture now says that superheroes are a hindrance more than they are a help. Well, at a certain point, everyone needs a superhero. And as the movie goes on, I'm not going to spoil it for you. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, please. But there's a certain point when the family has to save the baby because he's been taken by the villain in the story. And as they're doing these incredible feats, I mean, Mr. Incredible is super strong, man. Mrs. Incredible is elastic, flexible. Dash is, super fast. Violet, she has this invisibility and she can do force fields. And as they're doing these amazing things to save the youngest baby, there was this kid on this tricycle. And as he's watching this, once they're all done, they all realize that he's sitting there and he just screams out, "That was totally wicked." The same is with Jacob. Jacob wakes up Bonnie and he says, "That was totally wicked." What I love about the story of The Incredibles, it's not the amazing CGI, it's not really the amazing fights, but it's the fact that this normal family or this superhero family has to live in this normal house. If you looked at this house, you would have never known what happened on the inside, what lies behind the wall. Barbara Brown Taylor reflects more by saying, even if Jacob could never find the exact place where the feet of the heavenly ladder came to earth, even if he could never find a single angel footprint in the sand, his life was changed for good. So, Kina, what if the line between the natural and the supernatural isn't as thick as we think it is? What if the demarcation between sacred and secular isn't as divisive as our culture wants us to believe? What if the God who meets us at the altar in the church is the same God that meets us outside in the natural sanctuaries in our backyards or sitting in city traffic or even in those beautiful passing moments with our family? What if those sacred moments that warm our hearts is a spirit of God beckoning us to the altars, to the sanctuaries of our life, saying, come and taste the sweetness that is life. Barbara says that the house of God stretches from one corner of the universe to the other. The presence of the divine permeates out from here, not just within here. Richard Rohr is a prolific Franciscan friar, teacher, and theologian. And in his book, The Universal Christ, he shares with us that, he says, when I know that the world around me is both the hiding place and the revelation of God, I can no longer make a distinction between the natural and the supernatural, between the holy and the profane. Tessa, what a thought that is. The world that I live within is pregnant with revelation of the loving presence of God, and it's just calling for me to see it. Not only is God calling us, Lucy, within this sanctuary, within this place, but Jack, God is calling us out there, and God is calling us within here. Taylor goes on to say, Jacob woke while God's breath was still sitting in the air. And although he saw nothing out of the ordinary around him, it was the same wilderness, same rocks, same sand, he still said, surely the Lord, Kim, is in this place, and I did not know it. So my question for us is, where are those hidden places that God is manifesting in our lives, Katie, that we are just missing it? Where are we sleeping while the presence of God is moving? Henry Nouwen is another prolific Catholic priest, and I promise I'm not a Catholic, but I have such respect for these writers. And in his book, Discernment, he says, the Lord, who is the creator of the universe, comes to us in smallness, in weakness, and in hiddenness. When I have no eyes to see the small signs of God's presence in the smile of a baby, the carefree play of children, the words of encouragement and gestures of love offered by friends, I remain spiritually blind. In an earlier chapter, he says, God's presence, Maria, is in the things, I'm so sorry, it's in the things that we touch and feel, that we move and live with day by day. What an amazing thought. God's presence is in the things that are closest to us. Yes, God's presence is in this place and in this sanctuary, but God's presence is also at the dinner table when your child shares with you the newest achievement in their video games that they play way too much, probably. God's presence is in the moment when your spouse or your partner is sharing with you the newest fact about their favorite athlete or their favorite singer. Yes, even God's presence is in the moment when your coworker shows you more pictures of their grandbaby from California. It's funny. It's usually in those moments that we deem annoying or chaotic disturbances that God is calling out to us to slow down and smell the flowers of life. Holy interruptions is what I call them, in which the Spirit of God calls out to us to the altars of life. You know what's funny, Bill? At the beginning of this week, I was very prepared to say that the miracle of this story was the fact that God came into an ordinary place and made it extraordinary. And while I was writing this sermon at 3:30 Saturday morning, I know that's late, forgive me, but as I was writing the sermon, the Spirit spoke to me and said, the miracle was that God was already there. And God said to Jacob, look and see my presence. I'm sure you all have heard about my experience with our confirmation wilderness kids in the year 2022. It was a hard time for me, very hard physically, mentally, emotionally. Some of the youth got to see me break down in ways that many people have not before, mercy God. I think I quit like several times each day, and every day I cursed Sylvie many times. But I was like, why am I here? What am I doing here? But I remember there was one day we got to our site for the night, and I promise you, I lay down on my back for like 45 minutes to an hour, just like trying to regain the feeling in my legs. And one of our youth came up to me and he said, Squire, turn around, look at that waterfall. This is the most beautiful thing. You've got to see it. And I said, buddy, I don't even know where I'm at right now. I can't. I said, go enjoy it yourself. Truly, God was in that place. And he had the eyes to see the beauty of God in nature. And I was so worried about my bed and a Big Mac from McDonald's. Blind to the beauty in that small moment. Richard Rohr encourages us to adopt an incarnational worldview that recognizes the presence of the divine in literally everything and everyone. Meaning taking time to slow down and explore the hand of God moving in each moment, realizing that everywhere the world is overflowing with God's presence, calling you to those small places to come taste and see that the Lord is good. In the places that seem ordinary, God is there, birthing extraordinary miracles. I'm going to close with this story. Kara Hauslander writes about an experience in her book, A Rocking Horse Catholic. And she says, I was in an underground train in which all sorts of people jostled together, sitting and strap hanging, workers of every description going home at the end of their day. And quite suddenly, I saw in my mind, but as vividly as a wonderful picture, Christ in them all. But I saw more than that. Not only was Christ in every one of them, living in them, dying in them, rejoicing in them, sorrowing in them, but because he was in them and because they were here, the whole world was here too, here in this underground train. Not only the world as it was at that moment, not only the people in all the countries of the world, but all those people who have lived in the past and also those yet to come. I came into the streets and walked for a long time in the crowds. It was the same here, on every side, in every passerby, everywhere. Christ. So my prayer for us is in the words that we sang not too long ago. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And then we're going to join in that holy hymn. It says, holy, 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 holy Lord, I want to see you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.